a time that our ears are open so that we may hear, a time that our eyes are open so that we may see, and a time that our hearts are open so that we may feel your presence in this place. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters, saints and sinners. I need you to do something for me this morning, if you will. I need you to reach deep into your pockets or purses. No, this isn't a message on tithing or stewardship or how I plan to fund my seminary education. But how many of us still carry change around with us? I mean, really, with debit cards, credit cards, PayPal, Apple and Google Pay, Bitcoin, Venmo, and auto debit? Who needs change in life anymore? You know, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, the first recorded use of change to refer specifically to those small coins is from 1679. And that's a few decades before that there is the first recorded use of change to refer to the excess balance that is returned in. Coins were given in change, or as we have come to know, in exchange, to settle the difference in the transaction for any excess of payment. You know what? I really hate change, and I keep it out of my pockets, and I have a cup in my car and a bowl in my house that's filled. Well, maybe hate is too strong. I strongly dislike change. I mean those little coins that are given to me at the drive-thru window or at the grocery store or at the restaurant. I may even declare that I avoid change. The book of Jeremiah that we just heard is a major prophetic work that reflects theologically on the political and religious turmoil of the people of Judah. And according to Carol Sharp from Theological Bible Commentary, Jeremiah was against the sins of his people. And in chapter 17, there is a whole list of sins that have resulted in God's judgment of the nation of Judah. But Jeremiah is trying to bring about change to the people. And it's coming from the authority of the Lord. The passage right up front grabs us from the beginning of our exchange in the text this morning. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. This gives the words that follow the authority that makes it come from the Lord. But the text is a curse and an accompanying blessing. God tells the people that if they put their confidence and trust in mere mortals and flesh, it will result in a turning away from the Lord and in disappointment. The writer then turns to a vivid image of a shrub in the desert, struggling to remain alive, parched from the elements of the salt land, and where there's no relief. And when it despairs, it becomes like a tumbleweed, detached from its root stem, aimlessly just blowing about the desert. I physically experienced this kind of parchments and heat during a youth mission trip that I led to the deserts of Arizona. We were building an addition to a one-room church in the Gila River Indian Reservation. And on a typical day, we worked from 5 a.m. to 11 a.m., and temperatures often reached 102 to 110. We broke for lunch and a break because the heat and the dryness of the Arizona desert was just too intense for us Northeasterners. We just couldn't handle it. We then would return to work for a couple hours, and after dinner and before the sun would set. The land, I have to tell you, was dusty and dry and desolate. There was tumbleweeds blowing about. You could taste the grittiness in your mouth every day. It was barren. It was fruitless. It was just like those that turn from God and instead trust in humankind. When trouble comes their way, they are rooted in unstable, sandy, loose soil. They quickly wither and fade like the shrub in the desert that becomes the tumbleweed. And in the parched places of the wilderness and in the uninhabited salt land. I don't know about you, But I believe we're like tumbleweeds blowing around, sometimes with no firm planting. But thus says the Lord, blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. We have a clear accompanying blessing to the previous curse we just discussed. And all we have to do is just trust in the Lord. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Just trust in the Lord. Gladys Alward, a missionary to China, more than 50 years ago, was forced to flee when the Japanese invaded Yangcheng. But she couldn't leave her work behind. With only one assistant, she led more than 100 orphans over the mountains towards free China. In their book, The Hidden Price of Greatness, Ray Benson and Rinalda Mack Hunsinker tell the story of what happened. During Gladys's harrowing journey out of war-torn Yangcheng, she grappled with despair as never before. And after passing a sleepless night, she faced the morning with no hope or reaching safety. A young 13-year-old girl in the group reminded her at this time of the much-loved story of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. "But I am not Moses," Gladys cried in desperation. "Of course you aren't," the little girl said, "but God is still God." When Gladys and the orphans made it through, they proved once again that no matter how inadequate we feel, God is still God, and we can trust in the Lord. Like the tree that's been illustrated, when we trust in the Lord, our roots go deep into the soil, and they wrap around the boulders, and they dip into the ample supply of water. No matter what our drought may be, no matter what we experience in this mere mortal world, and when trouble comes our way, it does not affect us because we have a continuous supply of life and strength in the Lord. You know what's the difference between that desert tumbleweed and the riverside tree? It's who we are, you and I, and who we place our trust in. And the difference between the blessing and the cursing is where our confidence lies. When I first began my seminary journey, I thought I knew where my confidence was. I kept hearing from people when they found out I was going to attend seminary, "I hope it doesn't change you." And throughout the spiritual formation process, I kept hearing that this seminary and journey and this experience were going to change me. Changed the way I view the Bible and who wrote it. Changed the way I look at my faith tradition. Changed the way I define church. Change, change, change. But I hate change. I resisted it. I was very confident in who I believed I was and where God was showing up in my life. My trust is in what I knew and who I had been so far in my 50 years of life. My pride completely blinded me. I was a tumbleweed blowing around in the desert, going from one thing to another, always saying yes to whatever opportunity blew my way. And I found myself lost in the business of my work, in my seminary education, in my work at my church, in my volunteerism in the community, in my home life, in my life with my children, and on and on. I was doing all the things that I believed were what I needed to be doing. I was overextended. I was overwhelmed, and I was in over my head in so many ways. I did not know how I was going to get off this hamster wheel of life, but God did. He shook me to the core and challenged my prideful humanity. I needed to trust in the Lord and that I was going to be changed. Space was created for me, like it or not, causing me to have to stop and forcing me to take a year-long break from my seminary journey. resigning my work with my congregation, and taking time to reset what I was trusting in. And believe me, at that time, it was not God. When all this happened, I was in what felt like the most parched place of the wilderness. It was like an inhabited salt land. But I began to trust God. And I believed that God was somewhere in the midst of all of this. And I needed to trust the Lord. I needed to change. 6 months later, my mom was scheduled for a routine heart catheterization procedure in Scranton. It was a day when a blizzard storm came into the area. It was to be a simple procedure, and I spoke with her the night before via FaceTime and to pray with her. We never FaceTimed before, but I just felt I needed to see her and pray with her the night before her procedure. It was the last time I spoke with her. It was the last time I spoke with her. Within 24 hours, she coded 4 times. And my 4 siblings and I, we had to make the difficult decision with her doctors to let her go on that snowy day in March, just 7 days before her 78th birthday. Why do I share this painful personal story with you this morning? Because it was in this struggle that I began to trust in God more than ever. If I had been doing all the things that I thought were so important and I was doing prior, I would have never had the rooting and the ample supply of energy and time to deal with my mom's passing back in March and then the settling of her estate that followed these past 11 months. I do miss her, but I do trust in the Lord that she's no longer in pain and no longer suffering. Trust the Lord and be blessed. God says that he searches our hearts and he tests our minds. And believe me, he does. And as believers, you and I have been changed. We have been given a new heart and our minds are being renewed. I'm trying to break out of old habits. But just like, if you would go with me, fold your hands this way. Just fold your hands. And try to reverse them. Some of you are going like this. And some of you want to go back. This is what change feels like. It's different, it's weird, and we want to go back to the old way things were. I'm reorienting myself around a new set of values, around a new priority. We've been given a new heart of our minds and being renewed, breaking out of those old habits. I'm being changed just this morning. And so are you. The Spirit is doing similar work in you and I, whether you believe it or not. Whether you're ready, and trust me, or you're not. No matter what your struggle or your conflict may be today, realize that trusting what the Lord intends is to change you. And in that change, you will be blessed. Don't trust men and women. Don't even trust yourself. Trust God, and you will be changed.